We have been talking about the whole idea or concept of experiencing God, and what that really refers to is not just the idea of knowing about God, but it's talking about a relationship, by our experiences with God. And then once we, when we have those experiences and we're learning to have this relationship with God based on our experiences, then we have some great things to be able to share with other people, to be the witnesses that God called upon us to be in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And so that's really what our focus is on, is experiencing God in a way that, that talks about relationship, our relationship with Him, because God wants us not to just to know about Him, but He wants us to get to know Him. Now, last week, as part of our study, we really began focusing on what Henry Blackaby talks about in his book on experiencing God, seven realities of experiencing God. And so we're looking at a different reality each week over the next 7 weeks in this. And last week we began this part of our study talking about reality number one, that God is working around us, and that God is working in and around our lives. Is He's got plans for us, and He's got work that He's doing, and what He's calling upon us to do is to join Him in the work that He is doing in our lives and on behalf of us. This morning, we're going to look at reality number two, that says basically that God is pursuing you. Okay? But it's not just that God is pursuing you, but it is that God is pursuing you in a love relationship. Okay? And so it's all about the relationship, but the relationship is not just a relationship, it is a love relationship that God wants to have with us. And so we look at this reality, and he talks about God pursuing us. Now, how many of you have you watched some of the TV shows, Hot Pursuit and the videos of the police chases, 1, 2, 3, I think they're up to 12 now or something like that, all these police videos. I'm going to tell you something. In police work, if you are a policeman, to get into a police chase is one of the most exciting things that you can do, okay? I mean, it's fun, all right? I mean, there's just no other way to put it. It is a lot of fun, okay? When I talk to my son Kyle all the time, about what's going on at work and so forth, and he'll tell me, I say, well, yeah, I had this call, and we had this, we went to this call, and we did this, whatever. And I talked to him other times, the other day, as a matter of fact, I was talking with him, and you can tell the difference in his level of excitement. I got into a chase the other night, and he starts telling me about this chase that he gets into. And the reason is, it's adrenaline pumping. It's exciting to be in a chase, to pursue something. Now, the reason that I've gone to all that detail to tell you that is because I want you to, in a sense, to feel that's what God is doing with you. Okay? He is pursuing you. He's in hot pursuit. Okay? Now, the policemen, when they're chasing someone, they're chasing the bad guys because they want to stop them. They want to, get a hold of them. They want to keep them from hurting themselves and hurting somebody else. And, and they're going to catch them and they're going to put them in jail. Okay? God is pursuing you, not because He wants to punish you. Okay? He doesn't want to catch you and punish you and throw you into some kind of punishment. He wants to catch you so that He can be in relationship with you and keep you from being hurt. So that's why God is chasing you. See? I don't know if you've ever really thought about it that way or not, but just think about it for a second, and isn't it kind of exciting to think that God is chasing you? You see, because to me, that kind of adds a whole different dimension to the relationship, doesn't it? To, you know, when you say, well, yeah, God wants us to be His, and it's really easy to get the concept that, as we talked about last week, that, you know, some people think, well, God kind of set things in motion, and now He's just kind of sitting back and letting things happen on their own, and He's not really involved. But that can't be further from the truth. If God has plans for us, like we saw last week, He's working, you see, in and around us all the time. And then we add the dimension that says not only is He working, but He's chasing us. He is in pursuit of us. You see, He's in pursuit of you. Why? Because He wants a love relationship with you. You see? If you go to the text in 1 John that Brandon read for us this morning as we begin, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Look at the wording that's used here. It's a really interesting word that emphasizes this idea. He says, "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us." Some of your translations say poured out. Okay? "He lavished His love on us that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are. Now, the word lavished, okay, that's an interesting word. Because really what it means is to give or spend in abundance or extravagant quantities. In other words, what that basically means, that word lavish, is He's just spilled it all over. Okay? He's just spilled it all over. There's so much of it, it can't be contained. And so it's just oozing out all over the place. That's how much love God has for you. Okay? And He is chasing you. In pursuit of a more and deeper love relationship. Okay? Because that's what God wants with you, is a love relationship. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 5, Paul there says He has poured out His love into our hearts. We talked about a few weeks ago when we were looking at the nature of God being love, you see, and we talked about the idea that says that God doesn't just have some love that He just kind of puts a little bit here and a little bit there and He kind of, you know, dishes out to us. It says God is love. And so God possesses all the love that there is to have. And so He's got an abundant supply. Would you agree with that? You see? And so what He is doing is He is pouring that abundant supply of love into your heart. And the reason that He's doing that is because He wants you to be in a love relationship with Him. So He's chasing after you for that purpose. Okay? He wants to be in that love relationship because, you see, if you think about it this way, without love, it really is just a relationship. Okay? Without love, it's just a relationship. And I think that probably most of us know the difference between liking someone or being acquainted with someone and loving someone. Okay? And probably, you know, we have lots of people in our lives. Each one of us could probably name a list of people that we have a relationship with. That is, we know them, we interact with them, and many of them on some kind of a regular basis. But we would not describe that relationship necessarily as a love relationship, would we? In other words, it may be your neighbor, it may be people that you work with, and you know, and so on. You know those people, you know a lot about them, you have a relationship with them, whether it's a work relationship or a neighborhood relationship or whatever, but it's not a love relationship. And so without the love component, it's just a relationship. Well, you see, the point I want you to understand from that is God doesn't want to have just a relationship with you. See? He doesn't want to just be in a relationship where you know about Him and He knows about you and He's sitting up there somewhere in heaven on a throne just kind of twiddling His thumbs until the time appointed. No, He wants a love relationship with you. And that's why He's chasing you. You see? That's why He pursues you every day of your life in a love relationship with you. Turning your Bible over to John chapter 21, let me explain to you what I mean by looking at this interaction that Jesus has with Peter. Now, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. And you remember that scene while Jesus was being tried, what was happening to Peter? Peter was there in the court and he was asked and confronted three different times about being one of Jesus' disciples. And just as Jesus had told him He would do, Peter denied that he even knew who Jesus was. So, you think about that, and now, you know, Jesus was crucified, He was buried, and now He's risen from the grave. Well, where is Peter and the other disciples? They're out fishing. John chapter 21. And they come in from fishing, and there's Jesus on the shore. And Jesus has a conversation with Peter. And in that conversation, Jesus asks him that pursuit question. Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? And Peter first responded to him, Lord, you know that I love you. You know all things. You know that I love you. And he says, feed my sheep. He asked him again the same question. Then he asked him a third time, and the scripture there tells us that Peter was hurt that Jesus had asked him the third time. But I want you to just think for a moment with me about that interaction that Jesus is having with Peter, a man who just a short time before had denied, had cursed and swore that he even knew who Jesus was. Is that, would you consider that to be a relationship wrecker? You know, this is one of my best friends. I don't know him. How would you feel about that person who was one of your best friends that when you needed them the most would go, don't know him. Don't have nothing to do with him. Nope, not me. And yet that's what Peter did. And here we find Jesus pursuing Peter all over again in that love relationship. You don't see Jesus here with Peter going, okay, Peter, did you learn your lesson? I told you you were going to do that. That's not what he did. Instead, what is he doing? He's asking that one question that is the vital, most important question that can ever be asked in a relationship. Do you love me? And though it's not stated, I think that any reasonable person can imply from what Jesus is doing here that Jesus would be saying to him, Peter, do you love me? Because I sure love you. I sure love you. Jesus was pursuing Peter, I think, to restore him, to restore his faith, to make him know and to feel that yes, even though he had denied Jesus, he was still loved. He was still in a love relationship with Jesus. And he needed to know that right then. But the point is that here's a great example, even in the face of Peter's sin of denying Jesus, how he is continuing to pursue because of that love relationship. I don't know about you, but that gives me a tremendous amount of comfort in knowing that even though I stumble and fall as I try to live my life for God, I stumble and fall. I mess up. I sin. But yet Jesus continues to pursue me in that love relationship. And He does the same thing for you. Because without love, it's just a relationship. And God wants more than just a relationship with you and I. Okay? In 1 John chapter 4, if you go over there and take a look at what John writes in that particular part, a familiar verse to many of you. He says, "Beloved, let us love one another. For love comes from God." Right? "And everyone who loves is born of God." But then look at what he says next. "Whoever does not love does not know God." And the word there that's used for know, and we've talked about this before, gnosko, is speaking about relationship. It's not just knowledge, say. It's about relationship. So if you don't have love, he says, whoever does not love does not have relationship with God. Okay? You have to have love in there. And that's what God wants with every single one of us. A love relationship. And what kind of love is that? What kind of love is it that God really wants? And I'm not talking about the word. You know, we've talked many, many times about the different words for love, agape and phileo and so forth. But I want to suggest to you that the love that God is pursuing each and every one of us with is a love to die for. Now think about it. And what I mean by that is that first of all, it's the kind of love that caused God, it compelled God to send His Son to die for us. You see? So it is a love to die for. Turn over to Romans chapter 5, verse 8 there. Paul says, "God demonstrates His love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." See, it is a love to die for. John chapter 3 and verse 16, what does it say? "For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave His only begotten Son." See? It is a love to die for. That God loved us so much that He's willing to die for us. I don't know about you, but that really convinces me that God is pursuing us, okay? That He is chasing us in that love relationship. I mean, if you're willing to die for it, then that means you want it pretty bad. Don't you agree? See? That's how much He loves us. He's willing to die for us. Well, not only is it a love to die for in that aspect of God sending His Son to die for us, even while we were unworthy, we're sinners, yet He still died. It's also a love to die for because it calls upon us and requires from us to die to ourselves in return. And so in that way, it is also a love to die for. Romans chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. And Paul has been talking about the fact that we are saved by grace, not by our own endeavors. And someone might ask, well, if we're saved because of grace, and we get grace because we sin, then doesn't it make sense for us to just keep on sinning so we get more grace, right? Sounds like a reasonable thing, and Paul says, no, wrong thinking. You understand I'm paraphrasing there, right? Okay, wrong thinking. What does he say beginning in verse 1? What shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We, what? Died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know, he says, that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Go down to verse 8. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. Death no longer has mastery over Him. The death He died to sin once for all, but the life He lives, He lives to God. Look at verse 11. In the same way, count yourselves, what? Dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. So do you get the point here that Paul is talking about? In order for us to really be in this love relationship and to return that love to God, that it needs to be on our behalf. It needs to be a love that we are willing to die for. A love that we will die to ourselves, to the selfishness, to the sin in our lives, so that we can live in a loving relationship with Christ. And so in that way, it truly is a love to die for. Jesus died for us. He calls upon us to in turn die to ourselves for Him in that relationship. God truly is pursuing us. You see? He truly is pursuing us in a love relationship. And when we really understand that, when we get that, that it's not just about knowing about God and just kind of being in a relationship where we go to church and things like that, but that God is pursuing us on a daily basis in our lives because He loves us. And that's the relationship that He wants with us. When we really get that, then we'll be able to say, like the psalmist said in Psalm 63 in verse 3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I love that verse. Your love is better than life. God is pursuing you in a love relationship. How are you responding to Him? It is a love to die for. And He's already died for you. And how about you in response to Him? Have you died to yourself for Him? If you haven't yet, then you need to understand that you're still lost in your sin. And separated from God, you're not in a relationship with Him. But the great thing is you can be in a relationship with Him by dying to yourself, your sins, repenting of those sins, and calling upon Jesus as your Lord, and having those sins washed away in baptism. You can do that right now, this morning, if that's what you need to do, and you're ready to make that commitment. But for those of you who have already been in relationship with God, maybe you've done all of those things, but would you describe your relationship more as one of that you know about God and you have a lot of information, a lot of knowledge, but your relationship is perhaps maybe more about going to church than it is about a love relationship with Jesus on a daily basis. I want to encourage you to really consider the fact that God is pursuing you in a love relationship. And if there's something that we can help you with, if maybe it's some guidance, it's praying, it's teaching, whatever it might be to help you to really enjoy more and more of that love relationship that He's pursuing you with, that's what we want to do. That's what family does. So we offer the opportunity for you to come and say, hey, this is what I need. This is where I am in my life, in my relationship with God, and I want it to be more. We're going to stand and sing a song, Steve, if you'll come up and lead us. And we use this as an invitation for anyone that you want to build a stronger relationship with Christ and you need some help to do that. Come up and let us know. Let's stand together and sing.